Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy Tuesday. We are rolling through another day on Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Paul, it's going to be an interesting week. It's something that we've talked about ad nauseum here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an, you look, I mean, it's everything surrounding Deshaun Watson was huge and a huge topic of conversation before there were even accusations.
Right.
When he signed that contract and a couple of months later wanted out. Add in, of course, the 20-some civil lawsuits, the suits with HPD, the NFL's separate investigation. It's been a lot. He is scheduled to be deposed a week from today, February 22nd. So I think that we're going to have answers soon. But if you would have told me when all of this started that we would be this far along and there would be no settlement, I wouldn't have believed you. I thought for sure there'd be a settlement of some sort.
How much has really changed since we found out all the allegations that were against Deshaun Watson? I mean, really, all that has happened over the last 2 years is that Watson wanted a trade, and then all of those allegations came out, what, like a month later, two months later, or something like that?
Yeah, it was something. It was around that, because he got the new contract in October, November, that area, and then it was a few months later.
So, no progress at all. I'm wondering if we're going to start getting leaks about what is happening from either of the two attorneys involved. Given the way that one of them, you know what, check that. I mean, Rusty Harden's Rusty Harden.
So, yeah.
I mean,
screw you, Rusty.
There's a reputation, but I would say with Busby, very show pony esque tactics that man uses. So, you know, I would say at the very beginning of this case, with the way that he was sort of like putting all the victims out, like it was, you know, a bunch of, I don't know, like trophies essentially that he had against Watson.
Yeah, it was awkward.
I didn't like the way that he did that. So I'm curious as to if that's going to happen again. I guess that if things are quiet, if we're looking at it entirely from the perspective of the Texans being able to trade Deshaun Watson, the less we hear over the next week before the deposition, the better.
Well, and from if you're a Texans fan, you want these cases settled.
Yeah.
And you, because I don't think he's going to get traded before they are.
I doubt that they would. And honestly, I think you would want to have some sort of assurances from the NFL about if you're one of those teams that's all in right now, say you're Denver, are you going to want to make that trade where you're a pretty competent team outside of the quarterback position? Do you want to make that trade knowing that Watson might be gone for half the year? I don't know that I would. I think I might decide, you know what, I'll wait another one. Or I will wait and try my hardest to get Aaron Rodgers. I'll put a Godfather offer together for him or something like that. I think there's a certain point where you tell yourself, yeah, I mean, he's a great quarterback, but if he's not going to be here for most of the season, then what's the point?
Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson completely control the cliche, what we call the quarterback carousel this season. What Aaron Rodgers decides to do, which could go either way. I mean, he sounded nicer talking about the Packers during his MVP speech than he has in probably the entire time he played for Green Bay. What Aaron Rodgers does and what happens with these lawsuits with Deshaun Watson potentially being traded, or if the NFL sits him out a year, we don't know what's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson definitely control the quarterback carousel. People can talk all they want about Kyler Murray and about what he's posting on Instagram. People can talk all they want about Drew Locke and all of these different elements, but it's Rodgers and Watson who I think are the chess pieces.
I wonder if any of these unhappy quarterbacks are actually going to be able to successfully force their way out of town, because I do think, Vanessa, that we are in for a lot more of this down the road. I saw a tweet the other day, and the tweet said, Tom Brady and Matt Stafford changed teams during the offseason, and the respective teams won the Super Bowl the next year. But with those two situations, it was pretty quiet as far as the actual disgruntledness of both Tom Brady. Yeah, you heard rumors, but Brady never really put his name on it. And also, he walked away in free agency because the Patriots didn't want to bring him back at the contract that he was looking for. Like, they let him go. And then in the situation with the Detroit Lions, I think they wanted to make good for Matt Stafford, so they made that trade happen because he was being such a good soldier. So those were two situations where the team voluntarily decided, hey, we're going to move on. But Why would the Seahawks want to get rid of Russell Wilson? Why would the Cardinals want to get rid of Kyler Murray? Why would the Packers want to get rid of Aaron Rodgers? So there seems to be, in last offseason, I don't think we learned anything from it. There was this certainty that those guys are going to be able to force their way out of town. Well, Rodgers didn't. Wilson didn't, no matter what you heard. And with Kyler Murray right now, you see the most recent Instagram post that he put up where he puts out a statement and he's like wearing a Cardinals uniform.
Where he said nothing.
Right. He did say nothing. He's like, I only care about my teammates. I'm not about the noise.
He said nothing. I learned nothing. But either way, everything involving Deshaun Watson and hashtag WatsonWatch feels like a movie we've seen before.
Oh, yeah, it does. And unfortunately, you know, generally sequels suck, right? I mean, some are good, but I would say for the most part, for every single Terminator 2, you're going to get City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold. I never watched it. The little post title that they have there just sounds so crap. So
you never saw it, but you think it's
bad. I hate Billy Crystal. I'll be perfectly honest. Yeah. I'm sorry. Too much of a Yankees fan. I like legitimately do not want to watch anything he is in, even with the exception of the movie with Meg Ryan. What's that movie?
When Harry Met Sally?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah, great movie. Ow! Yeah, that's a Sally noise. I don't know why I made that. Anyway, going back to this is going to be a very long, long offseason, and I decided, and you guys can help us out with this if you can come up with a name for the movie of the trailer, excuse me, of the sequel to Deshaun Watson and Watson Watch 2021, because now it's Watson Watch 2022. Here's a trailer I put together. Sounds like this.
Offseason, one man wanted out of town.
We're about to witness the biggest trade in NFL history. There's never, ever been a commodity like this in the NFL.
And this offseason, that man still wants out of town. Except he's really creepy now.
I am always filming everything.
It's Watson Watch 2. We're doing this again.
It's the same.
Rated R.
So it's, you know, Watson Watch 2. Oh crap, we're doing this again. That's the, instead of The Legend of Curly's Gold. Working title, though. If you have a better name for this offseason of Watson Watch, please have at it, because we're all going to be in this together, hating our lives.
We're all in this together.
Talking about
what
this every
this,
single
COVID?
Day. Yeah, yeah. new normal.
I do remember when at Texans training camp, when Deshaun asked why we kept videoing him, and he said it's the same stuff every day, only he didn't say stuff.
Oh, yeah. Poop.
Where do you think are some potential landing spots for Deshaun Watson? Because we've heard some of the things for a while, like we've heard Panthers thrown around. We heard Dolphins before the whole Tua and Mike McDaniel thing happened. But there was another one that was added during the Super Bowl. Do we have that audio that during the Super Bowl pregame show, right?
Right, yeah. So you heard a list that was put together, and Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network mentioned a team that was pretty surprising to me, but it makes sense given that Tom Brady retired.
Not quite sure themselves. They haven't had that big picture conversation with him since they had their end of season meetings. But I do know they're looking for Murray to take a step forward in a number of areas. We're talking about maturity, body language on the sideline, having a bigger voice with his teammates, and leadership. Case in point, the playoff game here, a minute left. The game had been decided. Backup Colt McCoy encouraged Murray to finish the game with his teammates. A banged up Murray said, no, that's it. I'm done. So I know a lot of Cardinals folks were not happy with that one. As for the Cardinals, though, they did release a statement saying nothing has changed regarding our opinion in high regard for Kyler Murray. Keep an eye on the contract, though, Tom. He's eligible now.
Mike, here we talked earlier about the Bucs keeping the door open for Tom Brady, but also exploring potential trades for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. They're not going to be alone. Expect the Broncos to explore every avenue to fix their quarterback spot. Expect the Panthers to be in it. Again, they were in on Deshaun Watson at the trade deadline. The Saints, Commanders, that quarterback trade market could be very hot, Ian.
So if you look at what everyone has to offer, Vanessa, I mean, Denver has the most to offer right now of all those teams listed. You have the early draft pick. You have pick number 9. You have 2 second-round picks. You have 2 third-round picks because of the Von Miller trade. If you look at the other teams, the Panthers only have the 6th pick in this year's draft. They've traded pretty much all their draft picks over the course of last year. Pick 6 is nice, but, I mean, that's all you would be getting, essentially, at least right now. And I want as many picks as I can right now. The Commanders, pick 11. Watson's not signing off on trade there. He might with the Panthers. The Saints, you get pick 18. They have a later third-round pick than you would expect. The Bucs are pick 27. Like, to me, it's like Denver or bust as far as teams that seem interested in Deshaun Watson that I want to make a trade happen with.
Denver is intriguing to me because they have the new coach in Nathaniel Hackett. would Deshaun Watson like him? Would Deshaun Watson waive that no trade clause for him? I'm not sure. They also potentially have a new owner in Byron Allen, who would be the first black owner in the NFL. So Denver is intriguing for a lot of reasons, not only because they have the weapons and because they
Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton.
Yeah, and they have the picks. They have the draft capital to make it happen.
Pretty good defense.
They have a new-ish GM, a new head coach, potentially a new owner. It just feels like a fresh, you know, situation and chapter in Denver. Would Deshaun Watson want that? I don't know. But again, he has that no-trade clause, which is important to remember because he could, you know, Nick Caserio could make a deal with Denver and Deshaun Watson could say, I don't want to go there.
It's an organization with a history of success, even with the messiness that's happening right now. So I think that if Watson's weighing his options, I think that the Broncos are going to be up there too. I would love to see the Jets get put into this because I think that New York has to realize quarterback-wise that they're not going to be able to compete in the AFC East with Zach Wilson against the likes of Josh Allen. Josh Allen looked like the best player in the NFL at times during the playoffs this past season. So if that's the Allen you have to deal with, I'm sorry, Zach Wilson's not cutting it. And I just look at Zach Wilson as this kid that seems to be way in over his head, you know, being a kid from BYU going all the way to New York City. Like, I don't want to knock a guy for being from that part of the country, but my God, what a culture shock that must be. And you're playing for one of the worst organizations there is. So I would love to see the Texans maybe get one of those two top 10 picks that the Jets have, and maybe Zach Wilson as someone to actually get a shot against Davis Mills this season. That's the team that I really want to make a trade happen with because they have, I think, the most capital to give you right now, and that they might be willing to move away from one of those top 10 picks. But I don't think we're going to get the haul. We're going to see the haul the Texans want to get for Deshaun Watson that we're all hoping for.
That's interesting because a lot of people think that his value is going to have stayed the same. You think that it might have gone down because he didn't play this last season?
I feel like it's not because he didn't play this last season. I just think that if he's got the no trade clause, it just really hurts what the Texans could potentially get for him. And there are teams that have picks. You
but
know,
he might not want to go there.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, now, you have the situation in Miami being what it is. Philadelphia. Do you want to go to Philadelphia? Do you feel 100% certain that you're going to get that gig in Philadelphia with the way that the Eagles seem to still kind of like Jalen Hurts?
They do like Jalen Hurts.
Right. So
Channelview grad.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that – I think they're going to get offered lowball offers for both Watson and for Laremy Tunsil. And we're all hoping for these hauls. I just don't think it's going to happen.
The Laremy Tunsil would be a bummer. All right, coming up, the week of love continues. A Houston sports power couple has decided on forever. And will Pauly G, my co-host, decide on forever? Somebody has a blind date tonight. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Ah, there's nothing better than meeting the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. I personally wouldn't know. I'm just saying I bet it's great. And two Houston sports, a power couple, have decided on forever. What?
Who?
You guys, Jonathan Owens, Texans safety, really, really nice guy, proposed yesterday to Simone Biles. He just put it on Instagram. She tweeted it out. Beautiful couple. Obviously, she's very, very, very accomplished. He's kind of making his way throughout the Texans. Had a couple of good games. So congrats to the happy couple.
That is interesting.
We love Simone. I love Simone.
Simone Biles is very awesome at what she does. I'm not going to lie. I think that gymnastics at the Olympics are very fun to watch. I feel like there are only a few events that I am going to watch all Olympics. I really enjoy figure skating. I really like gymnastics. And since the hockey doesn't really count now and the basketball side of things, we kill everybody. Like, those are really the only two things that I can actually like sit down and will watch if it's on TV. But that's awesome. That's cool. And good for Jonathan Owens. Good for you.
That's the definition of marrying up.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I mean, is he going to be able to continue to rise the ranks? Or is this somebody that we don't see as a Texan that much longer?
Do you hate the idea of being a trophy husband, though?
I would die to be a trophy husband.
Let's say
Kendall Jenner, what's up? I'm available.
I'm sure she's very interested.
I mean, look at me.
Everyone
says I need a spray tan on Twitch. Come on.
You're fine the way you are.
No, I don't know. Maybe I should get the spray tan.
I think that, even if he has a short-lived NFL career, I think he's probably fine financially with her for the rest of his life, as long as they're together.
I'm curious as to, okay, so you're one of the most decorated Olympians ever. What is the post-Olympian career like for somebody? Lots of endorsements, but I imagine at a certain point the endorsements stop coming. I'm guessing you're going to have speaking engagements all over the place for the foreseeable future. I wonder how that works. I legitimately do not know.
I think specifically for Simone Biles, she'll be fine for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many young girls look up to her. I mean, they got like gymnastic places that have opened since she hit the scene because she has that much influence. So I think Simone will be fine. But yeah, certainly congratulations to her and Jonathan. Really nice guy. Texan safety, and they are officially hashtag engaged.
Ow, ow!
So cute. Speaking of engagements, Pauly G, would you like to share with our listeners
I'm not engaged. However, okay, so a friend of mine... We're going to play a game in just a moment. This is the dating game music. There is a friend of mine who a long time ago we matched on a dating app. I was very much into this person. Things didn't work out, but we like maintained a friendship over time. And she just texts me out of the blue and she's like, Paul, I'm setting you up with my friend. You're going out tonight. Excuse me, Tuesday night. And I was like,
when was this?
She texted this during the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I guess. I mean, shoot, why not? I'm all for... experiences. I mean, I once also went on a date with somebody who claimed that she was in an open relationship and I did hot yoga. It was a weird decision because I had no idea what I was doing. And I'm not going to lie, I like caught myself like staring at her for the majority of the time that I was supposed to be actually doing yoga things. Sorry, I am who I am. I'm very curious to see how this goes. I've never done an actual blind date before. I mean, I don't know what this person looks like. I do know the person's name. But yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, so you haven't creeped on her on social media at all?
I'm trying not to. I'm just going to go...
I don't believe this at all.
I'm trying to go old-fashioned. Well, I watched Love is Blind season 2.
I don't believe you at all that you haven't looked her up.
See, but the way that you say it now I'm going to. Like, now you're making... No, I'm trying... Like, this is a legitimate new experience. How often does this happen in life?
Never!
Right.
I'm a former reporter. I do actual background checks on guys before we go on dates.
No, well... That's,
like, legitimate background checks.
It is different for girls other than it is for guys,
right?
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, because I don't want to, like, get murdered.
Right. I mean, the odds of me getting murdered, I guess it's
not zero,
but yeah, it is nice. It's fantastic. Never going to get murdered on a date, you think. Anyway, very curious as to how it goes, but I thought to myself, okay, well, let's play a little game to just have fun with
this. Let's do it.
So... Lance Erlein, who does the morning show here, The Bench, here on 97.5, 92.5. He puts out NFL mock drafts, and he does scouting reports on players as well. So I thought, okay, Vanessa, I'm going to give you three different groups, and we're going to play the dating game. Three groups with three prospects. All of these guys are top 10 prospects, but I'm going to give you no details about the position. I'm going to give you no details about really anything about them. I'm just going to give you extremely vague little passages from Lance's write-ups on all of these players. And you have to pick one of the three for the Houston Texans to draft. You ready?
Okay.
All right, can we get a little music, please? Okay. Group number one. Bachelor number one has a rare combination of measurables, talent, and pedigree. Greatness will require additional attitude and action. That's number one. Number two, a can't-miss combination of football character, skill, and physical traits. Scheme versatile and should be a very good starter with a very high floor. And then you have bachelor number three, a gentleman in class and killer on the grass. He goes from amiable to angry once he steps foot on the field. Bachelor one, bachelor two, or bachelor three, Vanessa Richardson, who are you picking?
Okay, so based on the current Texans regime... What were the last two sentences for bachelor number three?
Bachelor number three. He goes from amiable to angry once he steps foot on the field, and also a gentleman in class and killer on the grass. I mean, I know who I'm picking.
Amiable on the because I know the Texans, this current regime, they take a lot of pride in the culture. They've talked about it a lot. That's really big to them. I'm going to go with Bachelor number 3 because it seems like the football version of like Lady in the Street, Freak in the Bed, or that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Not from it, but like nice off the field. We'll do all the community service events that the Texans really appreciate, but also a killer on the field, and the Texans need killers on the field.
You picked NC State tackle Ikem Ekwonu. So
I don't hate it.
There you go. That's number one. We got group number 2. Okay? And there's, again, I'm just going to read vague lines from Lance Zierlein's write-ups on all of these prospects, and you have to pick entirely based off of these lines. And Lance, they're much more detailed than this. I took out all the parts that would give away the position.
Oh, so there's another group.
Oh, yeah. This is group number 2.
Okay.
Long, lean, and linear. Highly competitive with a confidence level that will be labeled as cocky by some evaluators. So number 1 is a bit of a peacock.
Okay.
Number 2, emerging player who should see a substantial leap in play, consistency with time to work on his technique and learn the game. The upside is evident. I can't read. Despite his inexperience. So that's number 2. Number 3, his game is fueled by traits and power over skill and instincts at this juncture of his career, and has pro-ready attributes that should help him acclimate quickly. Number 1, number 2, number 3.
I'm going with number 1.
Number 1, long, lean, and linear, highly competitive. That is Sauce Gardner, cornerback for the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Well, first of all, he used to work in Cincinnati. He's great. Also, Sauce.
I mean, what a name.
What a name.
Yes, I love it. All right, one last one.
Okay.
Really quickly. You got to pick one of these players for the Houston Texans entirely based off of vague write-ups that I have copied and pasted from Lance Zierlein's very detailed copy.
I'm loving
write-ups.
This.
He plays with a high level of consistency, number 1, from game to game, no matter the opponent. An average athlete, but he's strong. So that's number 1. Number 2, he's long, loose, and extremely athletic.
That's like the women you date.
Oh, it's not inaccurate. Number 3, a unique blend of traits and characteristics that make him a bit of a unicorn at the position. It's rare to find such a ferocious striker and intimidator.
I'm going to go with number 3. I think you sold me on the rare and the striker.
I liked unicorn.
Okay.
And number 3 is Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton.
That's a great. That's a lot of people's number 1.
Really?
For what? Who the Texans should go after?
That sounds interesting to me. So that is the random.
So we have Ikem
prospects dating app
Sauce.
Yeah. Yes.
Ikem, and then Kyle.
Ikem, Sauce, and Kyle. One of these things is not like the other. The latter punches drywall. Drinks Monster Energy.
Now you know. All right. And by the way, don't worry. Tomorrow we'll follow up closely on Paul's blind date.
Yeah.
Tonight.
I'm a little nervous. I'm not gonna look.
You're gonna look her up.
I don't know. You're like enabling.
If you
me.
Don't look her up, no. I'm gonna look her up and tell you what you're about to get
crap.
Into.
Okay, no, definitely not. Definitely All right. Not. I'm not doing it.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the quarterback carousel. We see it every offseason, but this season it could be particularly interesting. Plus, a referee gets in trouble in Katy. Coming up.
Okay. You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, the quarterback carousel was interesting last offseason. We had Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Bridgewater, Darnold, Gardner Minshew. A lot of different quarterbacks that found new teams one way or another, free agency, trades, et cetera, et cetera. This year it's going to be interesting, Paul, because this class of collegiate quarterbacks don't bring a whole lot to the table. There's no names that are so sexy that it's the obvious, like, we have to have that person.
I wonder about Kenny Pickett as we get closer and closer to the draft. I know Lance knows way more about the actual draft process than me, but it does always seem like a quarterback rises the ranks of mock drafts and then ends up being picked a lot more early than you would expect right around draft time. I would say Kenny Pickett's probably the nominee that I feel like people are going to look at and say, oh, I like X, Y, Z about him. And then maybe you draft him a little bit earlier than you probably could. So that's a possibility, but I am at the very least with you. And if I'm reading what all these people are saying about quarterbacks, yeah, there's no Bryce Young like we have next year's draft class at Alabama. There's no, like you saw this past year, all of those quarterbacks who were extremely exciting, maybe not the best results in year one for any of them outside of Mac Jones, but yeah, it does seem like it's going to be a rather underwhelming class, and that means that teams are going to get desperate, you would hope, and maybe pony up a lot to get someone like Deshaun Watson, and maybe even pony up a lot to get Kyler Murray, who seems like the worst.
Well, we know what happens when one domino falls. It seems like they all fall.
Yeah.
I think Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers determine the majority of this quarterback carousel. Does Aaron Rodgers retire? I don't think he will, but does he retire? Seems like he could stay with the Packers. In his MVP speech, he actually sounded like he liked his team and his franchise for the first time in a long time. Deshaun Watson, does he get these cases settled next week after the deposit? Does he get traded? After these domino pieces start falling, we know obviously Tom Brady has said that he's retiring. And then there are other kind of wild cards, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson. Seems like Carson Wentz will not be back for the Colts. So it's going to be interesting this year as far as the kind of cliche quarterback carousel goes.
Right. I think Rodgers, I'm going to say he's a Packer right now. I'm also willing to say that Russell Wilson will be a Seahawk. I feel like he does this every single offseason, and the Seahawks don't actually want to trade him. No matter how frustrated he is, until he actually decides to sit out like Deshaun Watson did, I don't think they're going to even remotely entertain the idea of trading him. They've done a great job with all of the actual controversy that has surrounded Russ. They just don't address it. They don't. They act like it's not happening. It is happening, but they act like it's not happening, and it doesn't get any messier. Where with the Cardinals and with this Kyler Murray thing, with all the leaking that's coming out all of a sudden about some of the things that Kyler Murray is allegedly doing, he's a self-centered, immature finger pointer. He supposedly didn't want to go back into the playoff game at the very end against the Rams. Really juicy. I'm not sure how much stock I put into this, but I was talking with some of my friends over at Arizona Sports Radio in Phoenix, and 98.7 in Phoenix said during halftime, Kyler Murray is known to sit at his locker room and call his girlfriend or put his earbuds in and isolate himself from the team. I don't know if that's true, and that's like a really damning accusation, but some of the stuff with Kyler Murray right now that's coming out, it seems like it's the absolute worst thing that you would want to do if you're an organization and you want to keep this guy.
Has he not been like this? Like when he committed to Texas A&M and then said he may go to Texas and then was complaining about the entire process. And then, of course, we know he eventually transferred. Has he not always come? Like when I hear these things about Kyler Murray, I'm not like, wow, that's terrible. That's shocking. To me, it's not that he's a bad person, but he's always come across as somebody that's a diva and somebody that might dip their toe in having a little bit more of an attitude, as opposed to Russell Wilson, who, being from the Midwest, seems to have this like, past, not that he's from the Midwest, I'm from the Midwest, and there's kind of almost like a beautiful passive aggressiveness where he'll complain but then sit next to Roger Goodell at games. Kyler Murray seems like the kind of guy that might have, he's kind of always had an attitude.
Russ is a master politician and will never, he'll give you the longest quote ever without actually saying anything whenever he's asked about any of these things. He'll just talk about what he wants to talk about. He's going to be a great politician someday if he decides to go that route. Murray, yeah, you're right. I mean, remember the interview that Kyler Murray did on the Dan Patrick Show?
Yes.
It was just so awkward.
And Dan's one of the best interviewers in the world.
I was cringing. Like, I felt like I was watching the first couple of episodes of The Office where I used to have to change the channel because Michael Scott made me so uncomfortable. I felt that uncomfortable listening to Kyler Murray talk. Murray is a strange person, at least as far as quarterbacks go. And I do really wonder if we're going to see more Kyler Murrays in the NFL in the future. And this situation, I do think, is largely going to be about whether or not Kyler Murray gets an extension. I do think it was kind of a power play to maybe get things to move. But the Cardinals, if this stuff is being leaked out, the Cardinals are clearly not super enthusiastic about the idea of re-signing him. And, you know, when you have these rumors out there and the organization's, I think deep down, questioning his actual toughness, whether it's facing adversity. You know, you mentioned at Texas A&M, he transferred. And you mentioned these final stretches of the last couple of seasons where he's banged up. He's not 100%. What quarterback is 100% in the second half of the season? He played like a different player. I hate to call out someone's toughness. He's an undersized quarterback, and he is pretty tough just that he's able to do the things that he's able to do. But there's something missing there, and I don't know what it is because the talent, there's no questioning it. He's an incredibly talented player.
Vanessa Richardson joined by Paul Gallant on Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on the Twitch and on the ESPN app. We're talking about the quarterback carousel. To me, one of the most intriguing pieces, not because I think that he's a great quarterback, because of the movement it could cause, other than Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers, is Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz ain't coming back to the Colts.
No.
It's very unlikely. Things that I've heard, things that, of course, Mortensen is reporting, traded or released before March 19th, before his $15 million in base salary is guaranteed. They thought it would work out. They thought
I thought it would work out.
I did not. I had concerns about him from the get-go because he was coming off of his worst year ever in the NFL.
What else is going on with Wentz? Because I'm sure you've heard a little bit more. I've always wondered why it hasn't worked, because the guy would have been MVP in 2017 if he doesn't get injured, and then everything happens the way that it does, where he gets hurt and Nick Foles takes the Eagles on that Super Bowl run. And I don't know how you operate as the starting quarterback going forward when you go down and your replacement comes in and is better than you in back-to-back playoffs.
Right. It's just not working. I think it's a bad fit. I think that he doesn't, everybody thought, or the thought and the hope was that he and Frank Reich having that chemistry and having that relationship, that Frank Reich could help build him back up. But it just hasn't happened.
They're taking shots at him.
Right.
Indirectly. I mean,
totally.
Chris Ballard seems like someone who doesn't take shots at people. Chris Ballard was critical of him publicly. Jim Irsay has been critical of him publicly. And we know that Jim Irsay is one that doesn't give a damn about what he says.
He does not hold back.
Right. But it's interesting to see the way that they're handling it, because it's not like Wentz was all bad. There were bad moments, of course, but there also were moments where you're like, oh yeah, like this is that guy. I think if he's a free agent, I mean, I take a shot on him.
Don't take a shot at Carson Wentz at all. Do I think that he could maybe have a career the rest of his, he could be a backup? Yeah, but after having one of his worst seasons in the NFL, and then he goes to the Colts, and he did do some things well. I will say this, like some of the specific concerns, he ended up being okay with, but he's one where if he gets moved, then all of a sudden you have another quarterback in the AFC South, which is going to be interesting for Texans fans, of course. Just from that perspective. But yeah, I mean, the quarterback carousel this offseason is going to be crazy.
Yeah, I do wonder. I think that from the start, we're going to just have to wait, though, as you said, for those two guys to fall, those two dominoes to fall.
Watson and Rodgers, you mean?
And some of these names are just not moving. Like, I know people want to see Russell Wilson move or Aaron Rodgers move. It didn't happen last offseason. Like, what's changed? The Seahawks had an unsuccessful season. The Packers did the exact same thing that they did the year before. They lost in the NFC Championship game. But, excuse me, no, they didn't get to the NFC Championship game. I forgot. They lost to the 49ers. But I just don't see, I don't think any of the sexy names are going to get moved. I think it's Watson that gets moved, and then we'll see Wentz somewhere else. We'll see maybe Jameis Winston somewhere else. And I would be willing to take a flyer on either of them if I'm the Texans. I say at this point, screw it. I mean, you can't.
Now, Wentz to the Texans would be interesting, because the Texans are in that rebuilding mode right now.
And if I'm not, was Lovie Smith there for at all any period of time that Jameis Winston was there?
I don't think so.
In Tampa Bay? Okay. I was just thinking off the top of my head. I think that you can't say no to anything if you're the Texans right now. You can't say Davis Mills, but Davis Mills. No, please don't. Like, I'm all for giving him an opportunity next year, but I also, if there are things that fall to them in the draft, a quarterback that they like, or if there is in this offseason a quarterback that they feel like they should take a flyer on, they should. I don't think you stand pat.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, more about quarterbacks, more about Pauly G's dating life, and Trouble in Katy coming up.
ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant. Happy Tuesday. Appreciate you joining us as we continue to truck along this week. Somebody that's not trucking along, an umpire in Katy. Rough week down in Katy.
I don't know. He's trucking on something.
He is.
This man was operating on pure meth.
This is per KETK.
Mm-hmm.
A baseball umpire in Houston was arrested Saturday after he allegedly had crystal meth at the tournament. According to KPRC, deputies were called to Katy Park, where witnesses reported suspicious activity from the umpire while he was in his car. The umpire, identified as Brett Thrasher, arrested after deputies with the local constable's office found 2.7 grams of meth inside his car.
Okay, so the guy has a lengthy track record of criminality.
Right.
One time he was arrested for it, the ganja, back in 2006. I would think, though, okay, and I'm sorry if I'm looking at this through a non-serious lens, but I am an idiot and I also don't have kids. If I were in this fellow's shoes and I felt the need to, I don't know, make my time doing my job as umpire for a little league game a little bit better, I think that I would go the route of the oski-woski, the ganja, the weed, as opposed to the meth. Another observation. I wish I was there to observe this, because I am sure that somebody, and this is entirely based off of Breaking Bad, I really do not know how meth works. It just seems like it makes everyone's teeth fall out. But it seems like that is something that really hypes you up. You know, I just think about Tuco Salamanca going tight, 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 tight when he sniffs a bunch in early on in season one of Breaking Bad. And I want to see what this umpire was acting like. Like, I want to see, was he just putting this extremely animated gestures, like striking out like little Tommy, he's 8 years old, you're out of here, like doing a backflip while he does it. This is messed up, but I kind of wish I was able to witness what his umpiring was like, say he were to have partaken in this substance he was found to have on him.
I don't want to brag, but I'm from Terre Haute, Indiana, which at one time was the meth capital of America.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I've witnessed it. I've seen it.
You survived.
I have survived. Never did meth, just to be perfectly clear.
Oh, okay. Wasn't sure.
But yeah, meth capital of America for a while. A couple year, nice little stretch there. So it's not just Larry Bird. We have meth too. And yeah, you're right. You're right about the, it definitely hypes you up. It's definitely an interesting choice if you're going to be around children, because it will be obvious to the parents. But yeah, good for him. Hope he gets the help he needs. And yeah, I definitely would go more the Snoop Dogg route with the marijuana.
Yeah.
Than the meth.
Also, so meth capital of the world in Terre Haute. So
it was for a while.
Okay.
Terre Haute.
Terre Haute. Okay. Terre Haute. So if Maryland is crab cakes and football, that's what Maryland does. Indiana is basketball and meth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it
right,
really
cool.
Should be on the state quarter. We're going to turn to football for a second, because Adam Schefter just broke a little bit of news.
Uh-oh.
Vikings are planning to introduce Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell as their next head coach on Thursday.
Okay.
Was that out there?
There was a rumor, right? I know he was supposed to be the head coach. I'm not sure if it was official at that point in time.
Yeah.
That was somebody that I know was talked about a little bit as a potential Houston Texans head coach. I'm guessing he looked at the situation and probably said, yeah, I can do better. Hell no. Yeah, he did that.
That's why this is intriguing to me. And I do think I saw this rumor on Twitter, but Adam Schefter, of course, breaking the news that it's officially supposed to be announced. Rams offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell, I guess, winning a Super Bowl will do that for you. But yeah, this was somebody that when I saw where he was, kind of the quote-unquote boy genius, the things that we've all seen, he intrigued me as an option for the Texans.
Yeah, he's a guy also that, if I'm not mistaken, was with the New England Patriots for a good amount of time during the Nick Caserio era. So this was a guy who I believe was drafted in the third round as a backup for Tom Brady. I forget when, but Caserio was definitely there at the same time that O'Connell was there. And you wonder, okay, there's sort of a Patriots tie here. Maybe that's a way that they could have brought him in. But yep, look, Texans, they weren't picking at the top.
No.
They weren't picking in the middle. They were picking from the bottom of the list. They were looking for a prom date with 3 hours to go until prom.
I love Lovie Smith, and I love everything that he brings to the table as far as leadership. I know that the guy, you know, I've texted with some of the players, asking them their opinions. They love him. I don't think it's a bad hire, but when I do see tweets like this and you think about the excitement that franchise is going to feel for a new beginning and somebody coming off of just winning a Super Bowl, an offensive coordinator, I really thought he might be in Houston. He was one, and then a Brian Flores pre-lawsuit, I thought, might land in Houston.
Another thing this not to do with Houston, if you're Sean McVay and you're losing yet another offensive assistant, I thought for sure, and the reason I called the Rams dead after last year was, like, all of their coaches were leaving, a lot of their players were leaving defensively, and I didn't know how they were going to repeat it all. If Sean McVay's apparently a little burnt out with coaching, which I could totally understand. I mean, look, no matter how I feel about Sean McVay as a head coach, I think he's a little overrated, but guy's a good-looking person with clearly a charming personality that also seems to have interests off the field. I know at Hard Knocks, I was like, you know what? I think I would want to spend a little bit more time with my family, too, if I was dating a supermodel. Just me.
It's like when people used to say Tom Brady went to bed at 8 p.m., wouldn't you? I mean, if you're married to Giselle, don't you go to bed at 8 p.m.? Like, I'm straight, but if I'm married to Giselle, I go to bed at 8 p.m.
Yeah, and Tom Brady, too.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll be game for both. That's just me, though. Look, I think when we're looking at O'Connell and we're looking at what you're getting in Lovie Smith, there is a part of me that does wonder about just the whole, hey, you hired a defensive mind. Why didn't you hire an offensive mind? Because it feels like everyone's going the way of an offensive mind. I look at Vic Fangio in Denver, and Fangio never was able to figure things out on offense, even though he is tremendously respected across the NFL. Like, I used to talk with my buddy Seth Payne all the time about, like, hey, like, defensive line, this guy knows what he is doing, Fangio. Everyone respects him, but then he gets the head coaching gig and, like, they never figure things out on offense. I don't know. There's a part of me that wishes there was a slightly more offensive minded guy in charge.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5 Twitch, and the ESPN app. Let's play a little. Are you in or are you out?
Oh.
Super Bowl should be played on Saturday, in or out?
Okay. I am in. I don't want to have to worry about Sunday to Monday. I'm not good at transitioning from Sunday to Monday.
Right.
At all.
You get the Sunday scaries?
I get the Sunday scaries, but I also am like, damn it, the weekend was fun, you know?
Yeah, weekend is fun.
This is something you're getting to enjoy for the first time, too.
Like, yeah.
Your job, you get weekends now. Congratulations.
It's actually unbelievable. I'm, like, planning a trip with my girlfriends to Nashville, which is something I haven't been able to do in literally years.
Let me guess, it's a bachelorette party.
It is not.
Oh, wow.
But I've been there for a few. All right, are you in or are you out? Super Bowls on West Coast time that start during the day are superior.
Just for the same answer that I said on Saturday. I want that game to be done so I can sober up and be ready to go on Monday and not be an absolute disaster.
Are you in or are you out? The commercials have gotten worse over the years. I'll say I think they're awful now.
I don't even watch. I mean, you're bringing back the E-Trade baby thinking that that's going to get a laugh. Like, no one had any idea what was going on with the E-Trade baby.
Last one. Are you in or are you out? This year's halftime show was one of the top five ever. Full disclosure, I love all genres of music. So Tom Petty is always going to be up there for me. Prince singing Purple Rain in the Rain, always going to be up there for me. But this was definitely top five.
I loved it. It also made me feel old.
Oh.
I mean, and that part of it is where I get a little bit bummed out by it now. Like, as we've gotten further and further away from it, now I realize there's all these little Gen Z jackals on all the social media who are roasting us for liking this music. They're like, what? They like Dr. Dre? Oh, wow. They like Snoop Dogg? Like, that's the vibe I am getting. Like, we're being made fun of, like, oh, wow, that's old people music now. Like, how? How did it become old people music?
I just need 50 Cent to never try to hang upside down again.
Right.
50 Cent Spider-Man is now more like a dollar.
Yeah.
And has gotten a little bit.
A lot of Whataburger. You know what? I don't blame him. Whataburger. There's a lot of Whataburger here.
There is. And we love him now that he's in Houston. 50 Cent, if you're listening and you want to come on our show.
Huge Astro fan.
Feel free. Yeah, very much
Bring Whataburger with you.
All right, that will do it for a Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Vanessa and Gallant. Remember, we're at Sports Vanessa on Twitter. We're at Gallant Says on Twitter.
Ow!
Follow us. We'll ask Pauly G tomorrow about his blind date tonight.
Blind date tonight. So long. Farewell. The Killer Bees are next.
Don't go
anywhere.
I hope she's not ugly.
ESPN 97.5.